evening, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the 8 o'clock spot live here on the Grid Network's YouTube channel and Twitter account. I am your host slash judge slash moderator, Bryson Carver. Very excited to, I think for the first time in 8 o'clock spot history, have the exact same returning three from the week prior. We obviously had some fun last week on episode 31. Episode 32 now has three fantastic contestants to get into a myriad of things in the world of sports. Where we start with Caitlin Clark. We're going to be talking some NBA stuff, Dallas Cowboys story that Adam Schefter discussed yesterday. But I will start with the champion of the 8 o'clock spot a week ago and the current points leader. We'll get into the leaderboard in just a second. It is Barry Grant Jr., fresh off of attending night one of WrestleMania. Barry, how are you doing today?
The champ is here. You see my name, Mr. 8 o'clock spot. That's what I've been from the inception of the show. I've carried this show since its inception, and I will continue to carry the show. I am the Roman Reigns of the 8 o'clock spot. I am the Hulk Hogan of the 8 o'clock spot. I am the Stone Cold Steve Austin of the 8 o'clock spot. I am the Bret the Hitman Hart of the 8 o'clock spot, and I will continue to dominate. So that's all I gotta say.
Didn't Roman Reigns lose on Sunday?
Hey, but he was the champ for four straight years.
Well, yeah, okay? That's true. The run can't last forever. Barry Grant Jr., all even podcast host and current points leader on the Grit Network's 8 o'clock spot. New addition to the 8 o'clock spot last week, looking to get his first win on this show. It is Mr. Keith Nannon back on the 8 o'clock spot. Keith, how are you doing tonight, my man?
I am doing. How is everybody else?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. Great to have you back on. Great to, again, have the returning three. Like, I'm curious to see how this works for a second straight week because, like, you know, the history that is I shouldn't say history, like something bad happened. It was very competitive. Let's put it that way. Last week, I expect it to be the same today. The host of the Fan Perspective podcast and up there in the standings on the 8 o'clock spot, Mr. John Rivera is on the show. John, how are you doing tonight, my man?
I'm good. I'm feeling like Mr. Rose. You know what I mean? We got to finish the story. You know what I mean? You got the rock and all that. We understand. But the story was, I'm supposed to win. I'm coming to win this week, baby.
It's going to be tight. That's what I do know for sure. Let's look at the leaderboard before we get into our very first topic, the updated leaderboard for this week. Barry Grant Jr. jumps back into first place ahead of Mike Guido, who is in second, followed by Alfred Dalton Devin. There's Johnson right there at six. Adam Bessie, Tim, Dylan, EJ, Ryan, Anthony, Alex, Eric Van Letten, and there's Keith Nannon hoping to extend or to be able to build on his already his 700-point point total from a week ago. Let's get into our first round rules, folks. It's quite simple. A great take gives you 200 points. A good take gives you 100 points. An okay take gives you 50. And a bad take, you come home empty-handed with 0 points. The most watched basketball game in 5 years was played on Sunday, where the Iowa Hawkeyes fell to the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks. Dawn Staley getting her third title at the University of South Carolina. But Caitlin Clark, the Gamecocks, everybody involved were able to lead an audience that averaged 18.7 million viewers on Sunday. This is mind-boggling to me. The most watched non-football or Olympic sporting event in America in 5 years. So obviously these young women moved the needle. Was no question about it. Caitlin is going to get drafted on Monday by the Indiana Fever, who, for the record, 36 of their 40 games are going to be on national television. That got announced today, which shows that the impact that she has. So I will start with you, Barry Grant Jr. The WNBA has been slowly creeping up in terms of popularity. They're going to get a massive shot in the arm with Caitlin Clark coming out on Monday. Will Caitlin Clark save the WNBA?
That's a great question. That's a lot of pressure to put on a 21, 22-year-old athlete, no matter how great she's been in college. You got to see it first, right? I think that you have to see how she transitions in handling, you know, dealing with pros. Listen, Diana Taurasi said it best. She's literally one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player to ever play in the WNBA. And she says, you know, it's not about playing with, you know, little girls anymore, or girls that are 18, 19, 20 year old. Like, now you're going against professionals every night, and it's a different ball game. It's a different level of competition, and you have to elevate your game. So to say that I think she can get more eyes on it, but is she going to be able to elevate it to new heights? I have no idea. That's a hard thing to actually, you know, quantify, because, you know, we've seen great players come into the WNBA. We've seen Candace Parkers. We've seen the Diana Taurasis. And, you know, it's only rosen incrementally. So we'll see what the impact is with her. She has the talent to do so. But, you know, are the people going to come?
It certainly appears that's going to be the case right off the bat. Well, at least in Vegas, because I know that back-to-back defending champion Aces had to move their game against the Fever to T-Mobile Arena. I think they had to get like another 2,000, you know, extra seats for people to be able to go see Caitlin, obviously the defending champion Aces. So at least initially, it looks like it'll make that impact. Will it be sustained is obviously the question. We'll see. Here's the thing, Barry. I didn't get one thing we pride ourselves on. You know this better than anybody as the points leader in the 8 o'clock spot. We pride ourselves on definitive takes.
It's tough.
Won that definitive. Tough. Okay, take. 50, 50. I'll give you the 50.
I'm sorry.
Listen, you're wrong.
That is a tough thing to quantify. It is. But listen, I'll take the 50 with pride. That's all right.
I just did a yes, a no, this, or that.
It's tough.
It's nuance. We understand. But the 8 o'clock spot, it's nuance. You win or you lose. It's that simple. Moving to Keith Nandan. Will Caitlin Clark be able to bring the eyeballs that she was able to draw at Iowa and bring those to WNBA and kind of save the league to a certain extent?
Well, I think she will. I mean, she's got me. I'm already waiting for the next game. I mean, and since we're on this WWE sort of theme, I mean, it seems like all these other girls are cutting their own promos to go up against Caitlin Clark, like Diana Taurasi already sending shots. I mean, it's like I can smell the jealousy. I can smell it. So I mean, I believe the first game is June 30th. I believe it's Caitlin Clark versus Diana Taurasi to open the season. And I mean, I'm in. So I hope that she lays the smackdown on all of these girls that are just like, I don't know. She's getting a lot of hate. I think they're jealous that she's getting so much attention. So I'm Caitlin all the way. She's got me. I'll be watching on June 30th.
In defense, I will say this. The game is actually, I checked today, it's going to be on May 14th. I think they're playing the Connecticut Sun, if I'm not mistaken. May 14th is going to be a Tuesday. Yeah, that's it. No, the season is pretty close to when the women's basketball, really the college basketball season ends.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, right, so we'll be getting this pretty, and I'm curious to see. I'm not saying it's going to beat it, but I'm curious to see what it's going to look like. Her very first WNBA game, the hype is going to come around that, and a potentially NBA playoff game, and just see what the comparisons between those two can really get a good look at. I will say with Diana Taurasi, in her defense, she is Diana Taurasi. She is arguably the GOAT. I don't, if there's anybody that's going to be jealous of Caitlin Clark, I don't think it's Diana. And I will also say, and I'll defend her and Sue Bird in this regard, I think some of the stuff said about Caitlin Clark, honest to God, they're pissed that their alma mater lost to Iowa by the skin of their teeth in the Final Four. And so there's that little bit of saltiness sort of left over. We all deal with that as sports fans. No matter how great those two players were, that still, you know, it hangs around. But nonetheless, Keith, I'm going to give you a good take, get you, if I can pull this up here, to get you at 100 points in the early lead over Barry. We'll see what John has to say. But yeah, I think she is going to certainly bring those eyeballs. But again, obviously, it's going to be about sustainability. To John Rivera, will Caitlin Clark be able to bring in eyeballs and bring her presence to be able to save the WNBA?
Save is that's a big, huge thing to say. I won't say save, but she'll definitely bring more spotlight, you know what I mean, to the WNBA, you know what I mean? Because it seems like the WNBA, every like 3 to 4 years, they get like a spark where people are paying attention. That one star player from college comes. The last 2 years, you know, Vegas coming out, I mean, a team being able to play in Vegas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And bring back-to-back champions and Becky Hammon's over there, their coach. So I think every couple of years, like I said, they get that spark with star players, like I said, Candace Parker, and then going to Chicago to, you know what I mean, win a championship with her, you know, hometown. But as far as saving, nah, she won't save it, but she'll definitely bring more eyes to it because, like I said, women's sports in general don't get the love that they deserve. And they're just not going to ever get the eyes. I'm just sorry to say it, but they won't get the big eyes like an NBA or whatever. They might have one or two games where they outdo the men, but as far as, you know, taking over and stuff like that, no. So she definitely will bring more eyes, especially this year, you know what I mean, about the games in Indiana and all that like she did in Iowa. So she definitely bring more sparks. And like I said, everyone will be paying attention, at least to the first season, you know what I mean, see how it goes. And like I said, to that big game, it was versus L.A., versus Vegas, where they had to move to, you know, from 12,000 to 30,000 arena, you know what I mean? So save is not, she's not going to save, but she definitely bring more attention for the, you know, next foreseeable future, I would say.
You mentioned if it could beat out the NBA a couple of games, I'd call that a win. because obviously, again, if you can play with popularity, it's not particularly close right now. So again, right. I said this on my show last week and even this week, that because of the eyeballs she's brought to the women's college game, it puts extra pressure on the WNBA. Like, hey, they could do it. Let's see if you can do it. Right. So I think that matters as well. But I'm going to give John Rivera a good take, gets him to 100 points time with Keith going into round two. Yeah, I think that there's a because there's so much momentum now and because the season is so close to when her previous season just ended, it's going to be a fresh enough story to where there's going to be a lot of attention on her debut. And then obviously we'll see what she does in her rookie season with the Indiana Fever, who took Aaliyah Boston number one last year out of South Carolina. They'll take Caitlin Clark number one this year out of Iowa. So we'll see what happens. So good first round, fellas. Moving to our second round where everything gets doubled from the first round in terms of point totals. A great take gives you 400 points. A good take gives you 200. An okay take gives you 100. And a bad take, you still come home empty-handed with 0 points. I know Barry's not going to love this segment, but the Golden State Warriors led the smackdown on the Los Angeles Lakers, 134 to 120. Hit 26 three-point shots. That is actually tied for the second most in franchise history. Draymond Green went 5 for 5 at one point. Steph was 6 for 6 from three. Klay hit 5. Now, for the record, there was no Anthony Davis. LeBron James arrived to the arena only an hour before tip-off due to flu-like symptoms. He did play well, dropping 33, 11, and 7. But right now, they're tied in the loss column. The Warriors do have the tiebreaker. There's a good chance that they'll face each other in the elimination 9-10 play-in game. I'll ask you to start, Keith. Who's more likely to go on a long postseason run? Is it the Lakers or is it the Warriors?
If I had to bet, I would definitely probably bet the Lakers. Just right now, the state of the Warriors, I don't really trust the supporting cast as much as I trust LeBron's supporting cast, even though Anthony Davis always seems to get hurt. I think Draymond's antics and Klay Thompson is sort of like a poor man's version of himself before he got hurt in the 2019 finals. He's still good, but he's not what he was. So I think just with LeBron, AD, and what is this, Reeves, and I think I would hedge my bet towards the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they have that's one thing I commended them. One of the few things I commended them in the offseason. I thought they did a good job sort of adding to their bench. Obviously bringing D'Lo back, I was a little skeptical of at the time. He didn't play well at all last night, but by and large, that's been a good contract for him. He's a zero on the defensive end, but he can be any given night an 8 or 9 out of 10 on the offensive end. Yep. And again, like that's, I don't put a whole lot of stock into the loss for the Lakers for them last night because they didn't have Anthony Davis. And we saw without LeBron James, they came back and beat, albeit a Bucks team that's playing poorly, but still came back from double digits in the fourth to beat Milwaukee. When those guys are in the lineup, they can beat anybody, I think, in a 7-game series with the possible exception of a Denver Nuggets. So good take, Keith. If I can put this up here, this will get you not 200 points. I should say 300 points. 300 points for Keith Nandid in this second round. Yeah, I think, listen, there's when you do have that level of size and you do have that, obviously LeBron, we know his history in the postseason. Anthony Davis last year was really good in the defensive end, the postseason, kind of inconsistent offensively, thus earning him the name of my show of Coin Flip Davis. But we'll see if he's able to replicate that in a greater way if they were to get in. To you, John Rivera, who's more likely to go on a postseason run? Is it the Warriors or is it the Lakers?
I mean, if I want more points, I would say you're Golden State Warriors, right? They're the veteran team. But no, I'm going to go with the Lakers, man. And just some more, I would say, I believe more in the Lakers team than I would Golden State. Like, you're not going to get Draymond shooting 5 for 5 or whatever he was in the first half, three-pointers. Klay Thompson just been too inconsistent, man. I mean, if he can show that, every other night instead of every four nights, then I'll believe more in Golden State. Kuminga could be up and down. Wiggins the same way. So I think for me, I trust more in LeBron, obviously, and AD, and then just that whole supporting cast that they built over there. I believe more in them, especially what they showed me this season, than I do with the Warriors. Like I said, the Warriors just been too inconsistent. Like, they'll win if, like I said, if Klay drops 15 or 16 or better, and all that like that. So I definitely believe more into the Lakers. So that's why I think they'll make a longer run. I think the teams in general that, I think nobody want to face either of them, though, that top couple teams other than Denver don't want to see them, because whoever them teams play, man, they're gonna beat them, I would think. Like OKC is a little too young. Minnesota, you still can't believe in them. But if you're actually gonna make the longer run, I would say the Lakers, man. I believe more in the Lakers. Like I said, the inconsistency of Golden State, man. So I'll take the Lakers.
That's fair. And obviously, listen, I think when you look at the Western Conference right now, like it's really fascinating that if I would love to see both get in the playoffs, because I think it's better for the playoffs to have LeBron and Steph in it. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, both get in. Say you get a Minnesota taking on a Warriors, or you get an Oklahoma City taking on the Lakers. Like, there's some matchups that favor the younger teams, but the experience, the playoff success favors the older team. So that definitely factors in as well. And yeah, I think that last year's playoffs does have to be taken into account. As much as I do love my Warriors more than last year's Warriors this season, listen, in that game, I guess it was game 3 and 6, the Lakers absolutely housed the Warriors and did so really just by pure physicality. The Warriors were just too small to be able to win that series. So John, I'll give you a good take, get you to 300 points. I think you make a lot of great points that, the Klay Thompson inconsistency has been an issue. I've talked about on my show all season long that if how he's playing right now, he's averaging about 20-21 a game over his last 9. If he can come anywhere close to that in the playoffs, I think I could convince anybody here to maybe, switch their answer. But yeah, we're 70 plus games in, and you have seen sort of an up and down Klay this year. So we'll see what happens regarding his postseason play. He is an impending free agent. To you, Barry Grant Jr., you're the Lakers fan here. Should the Lakers or Warriors, who's more likely to make a postseason run, LA or Golden State?
I think the Lakers are more suited for a postseason run just because of how they're designed. Listen, Anthony Davis is the best defensive player in the NBA. It's not even close. He will win the Defensive Player of the Year, and just his impact alone on both ends of the floor affects a lot of the game. Missing Anthony Davis yesterday, you saw the difference of what the Golden State Warriors can be able to do. And listen, when you knock down 26 threes, no one's beating you. But the thing is, that's not sustainable, right? That type of shooting is not sustainable. And when you have certain deficiencies that the Golden State Warriors do have, they're still a good team. They've been battling. They've been playing great basketball over the last month. But that's not something that you can be able to really quantify or pinpoint or say that this can be able to, be sustainable going forward in a 7-game series, because coaches lock in. They find weaknesses, they hammer into those weaknesses, and, I think Golden State has a lot more deficiencies that the Lakers have. So I do think that the Lakers are more designed for a postseason run, but it's really, really, truly about matchups. We know how this is. If the matchups fall in your favor, just like it fell in the Lakers' favor last season, right? They had great matchups that allowed them to get to the Western Conference Finals. If Golden State can be able to get in and get the perfect matchup that fits their style of play, then yeah, they can be able to make a run, but the Lakers are just more suited based on what they have top to bottom to be able to make a run roster wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think traditionally speaking, these are two very different rosters and very different styles of play. Like, I know I'm one of the very, very, very few members of Dub Nation that doesn't, go on about, the Lakers shoot all 1,000,000 free throws, the Warriors don't shoot any. Listen, because the style of play is night and day. I mean, again, you make 26 threes because you shoot a bunch of threes. Now, again, they went 26 of 41. They shot better from three than from two. Like you said, that in and of itself is not, sustainable. But obviously, we know the Warriors are a better shooting team, but the Lakers are better down low. They have the personnel to be better defensively. Now the question is, will they be able to put that into practice? So all three of you guys get good takes. I'm going to put Barry up here to 250, only 50 points behind Keith and John Rivera. The only problem is with this, guys, every single one of y'all are wrong. Okay, the Warriors are going to go minimum to the Western Conference Finals. Long as they don't face Denver before then, they will get to the Western Conference Finals.
I'm curious to see it, man. If you're right, shouts to you.
Hey, that's why I should have went. I live where I should have went with the Golden State take to get more.
No. You weren't going to get a great take. If I'm nothing else, I am objective. And all three of y'all make good cases. But, we saw, the Warriors did take 3 or 4 against the Lakers this season. That matters too. So the matchup seems to favor the Warriors, if I can make that case. All right, moving on to the third round, where we talk about another NBA topic. But first, a great take gives you 800 points. A good take gives you 400 points. An okay take gives you 200. And a bad take, still empty-handed, still get 0 points. Really, the bad news just continues to flow in from the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo injured his calf last night in a win over the Boston Celtics. The good news is that it doesn't look to be a season ender. He's going to miss the rest of the regular season, as, I don't think that surprises any of us. The problem was it was a non-contact injury. He just threw the ball into Damian Lillard, started to jog up the floor, and it looks like something went in his calf. I don't want to speculate on the exact situation, what the injury is, but again, the bad news continues to come in from Milwaukee despite them being the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. So I'll ask you, John Rivera, are the Bucks done? Or are their chances of winning a championship, is that out of here?
Just like I lead off my show, I'm gonna keep it 1-0-0 out of 0-1-0. Listen, the Bucks season's over, man. Like, they was not even, like, they're maybe top five, but they're not wasn't going to, let's be real. Let's be real. They not was not going to win the championship this year. They made a coaching change with 30 games in. They got Doc Rivers that got one championship in 90 years. Like, the chemistry with Dame and all of them still wasn't meshing anyways. So they wasn't championship bound or winning a championship in general. You know what I'm saying? They had a chance to get there, but was they winning it? No. I would think more people would say they, you know, they like the other teams other than they like the Bucks. Now, we're talking about the franchise. Like, that's when you got Steve franchise, we're talking about the franchise and Giannis. And this is an injury that we've seen before where KD came back in the playoffs and ended up messing it up, missing the season. So why in the hell with anybody, if I'm the owner, I do a Michael Vick. Like, nah, I'll roll you out in the wheelchair and everything. Like, no, you're not playing this year. Because guess what? We wasn't winning. Let's come back, heal that to next year, man. We finagle the roster some way, somehow. You know what I mean? Get better people. You'll have a whole full year, another year with Dame and the coaching staff. And we come back strong next year. But for this year, let him sit, man. Just let the man sit. Let him rest. That's a big boy that like to attack. And like I say, he's a big guy. So that the type of injuries, man, take a while to heal properly. And like I said, 100% Giannis, the chances were slim. So imagine the 75, 80% Giannis is not going to get you a championship this year. So let the man rest. Come back next year, man. Let that man play another 10, 12 years and the right way. You know what I'm saying? And not be injured and worried about that injury lingering.
Yeah, I think that matters. And obviously, we consider the fact that you mentioned the KD thing, and I talked about that on the show today. Like, the only, I am not a doctor, not going to play one on this show, but the only slight difference is a lot of people that hurt their Achilles or tear their Achilles talk about how the first thing he feels like somebody kicked you. Giannis, yeah. Again, for like KD, when he got injured, he like looked back like, hey, what happened? That didn't happen with Giannis, fortunately. So maybe it's a less severe injury. And yet everybody's body's different. We don't know exactly what happened as far as the situation is concerned. But the
body lingo is almost the same. Like, it might not look back like KD and Shaq, like they said, like something fell off their leg. But when he felt it, he kind of looked down and went down immediately. Like, so I'm not risking it, man, at all.
No, it was already looking bleak for Milwaukee. And listen, you laid everything out perfectly. We always get bonus points for humor on the show. So, John, great take. Getting you to 1,100 points. I think you're all spot on the money right there. I think, listen, the fit with Giannis and Dame, the Doc coaching chain. Listen, if you're gonna fire Adrian Griffin midseason and Doc Rivers is your first thought as far as bringing a new head coach, that was odd. He may be gone at season's end. It's the Bucks continue to move backwards after winning the championship in 2021. So we'll see what happens with them in the playoffs. But it's not looking that promising. To you, Barry Grant Jr., you've been all over the Doc thing for a while and the Dame Giannis thing for a while. But generally speaking, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm curious anyway. Are the Bucks done, regardless, Giannis healthy, Giannis unhealthy?
Well, I mean, I'm going to say, first off, you know, John said that Giannis was a big guy. First off, you got to say pause on no Diddy. We got to put that out there. The first thing, I love John, but you got to put that out there. The second thing is, what I'm going to do is, I am not going to take his take because I liked his take. You know, he kind of put things out there, but I'm going to take a different approach. I've said this already. The Bucks were done from day one. This was a old roster that got older, that got slower, that they don't really have much versatility. The biggest problem, even outside of the Giannis injury, right, is the fact that the two-man game between him and Dame don't work. Dame is pretty much one-dimensional. Giannis is pretty much one-dimensional. So when you put those guys in a pick-and-roll situation, it's really easy to be able to stay at home. You know what Dame wants to do. You know what Giannis wants to do. There's no variations to a pick-and-roll. So that's the struggle that you have, especially when you have a guy like Doc Rivers that doesn't give you much variation on offense anyway. So they were already flawed X and O's wise, strategically wise. They were already a flawed basketball team. Going into the playoffs with a coach that really doesn't do you any favors, they were already going to be behind the eight ball. Without a Giannis now fully healthy, you're really going to be behind the eight ball. All the Milwaukee Bucks is right now with not a healthy Giannis is the Portland Trailblazers all over again. So we've seen how far Portland can go with Dame. They didn't really go that far. Of course, they went to the Western Conference Finals at one point, but we already know what happened there, right? So this is what's going on here. They're not designed this season to win in the playoffs. Could they add some pieces in the offseason? They're kind of cap strapped right now. I don't know what they can be able to do. This might be the team going forward for the next year or two. And that doesn't really bode well for them. So I would say, no, they were cooked to start.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad you hit on the thing about Giannis and Dame's fit. Cause you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago and you sort of laid out like the two man game between Giannis and Dame because of their styles of play. Like Dame doesn't really have a good floater or a good mid range. Giannis is obviously not like a pick and pop type of guy. So, those components don't really work. And so listen, the problem with Milwaukee, you talked about, you know, them being able to potentially add peace in the offseason. What assets do they have? I mean, in their situation, they're paying Giannis a lot of money. They're paying Dame a lot, Chris Middleton. So, like, that's – and obviously, Middleton has been a shell of himself ever since he got injured 2 years ago. So, it's looking rough. So, Barry, I love the way you took that. Great take as well, putting you up there, you know, the great takes with John. There's the fit issue. The Doc thing just made it worse. And the fact that they were 30-11 and did fire their head coach told you that there were some other issues beyond just the play on the court that were going to plague this team in the long run. And it's just the chickens have come home to roost in the last month or so. So there you go. Finally to Keith Nannan. Keith looks like we're dealing with some connection issues. Keith back in here. Are the Milwaukee Bucks with a healthy Giannis, without Giannis, where the case may be, are they done as a title contender?
Yeah, definitely as a title contender, they're done. I mean, even with Giannis and Damian Lillard, I mean, there's still a notch underneath the Celtics as far as I'm concerned. With Giannis out, they're basically light years away from the Celtics. I mean, you have both of those guys, you probably feel like you have a puncher's chance against the Celtics. But without Giannis, I mean, it's just not going to happen, especially against the Celtics. Maybe you get around. You know, you've seen Dame Lillard, like Barry was saying before. You know, it's almost like the Portland Trailblazers. He's like, he left the Blazers, and now it looks like he's on another team. It's just like the Blazers, where maybe, you know, he can get around. I don't know. I don't even think he could get round two without Giannis. Their title chances are totally cooked. The Celtics are the team to beat in the East. Even before that, they were a level, maybe even two levels below the Celtics as far as I was concerned. So without Giannis, they're cooked.
Yeah, I agree with all three of you. And I think there's another subplot. Go ahead and put up Keith's total. I'm going to give you a good take, Keith, get you to 700 points. I think there's a subplot that I've talked about the last couple shows. I think there's a very real possibility that if he hasn't already, Giannis will play his final game as a Buck this month. Because I think when you consider, can Milwaukee get that much better? Sure, you can bring a new head coach, but that'd be four coaches in 3 years. The Budenholzer thing wore down at the end. Adrian Griffin didn't work. Doc obviously doesn't work. So how attractive of a job is that? Dame's getting older. It's an expensive roster. Barry talked about the age of the roster. The Knicks would love to have Giannis. They have the assets. The Warriors would love to have Giannis. They have the assets. Miami would at least make a push to go get Giannis. I think he looks around the NBA, says, listen, I'm in the prime of my career. Do I want to waste it crossing my fingers everybody stays healthy and that everything, you know, comes together? I think that's keep your eye out for that. That could be a potential story. Alberto P in the comments says Giannis to NY. It very well could be the case. Again, they have the asset. The fit with Giannis and Brunson, because Brunson is a two-dimensional player. He does have a floater. He does, you know, have a good package down, you know, in the mid-range area. That would be fun to watch, and that's absolutely contender.
Pause.
Oh boy.
Pause. No Diddy. Pause. You gotta relax. Package in the mid-range area, you gotta relax. That was crazy. Yo. Man.
Oh, I hate you guys. I really do. Let's move on to our fourth round rules. I'm trying to do a professional show here. Great take gives you 1,600 points. Good take gives you 800. Okay take 400. Bad take zero. Basically just double what the third round was. To the Dallas Cowboys, as big of a joke as whatever the flip that was. The Cowboys are in a rough spot. So Dak Prescott's a $59 million cap hit. This is the last year of his four-year $160 million deal. And a report from Adam Schefter the other day in NFL Live said that the Cowboys are a sleeper team, quote unquote, to potentially draft a quarterback as high as number 24 to go in the first round of this year's NFL draft. I talked about this on today's show. I have a very surprising take, but this is about y'all's take. I'm curious to hear what you think. Starting with you, Barry, you're a Cowboys fan. You are let's just say you and I are have very different beliefs, belief points on Dak Prescott. Should the Dallas Cowboys take a quarterback at number 24?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it?
No, I mean, I can go further, but I've been saying this for 5 years now. They should draft the quarterback. I mean, listen, I've said this, and we can disagree, people who are Dak fans, people who are not Dak fans, who just appreciate football. You can be able to win a Super Bowl with an average quarterback as long as everything is in place. Problem is, can you win consistently with an average quarterback and pay him $60 and $70 million? The answer is no. Dak Prescott is not elite. He's good, but he's not elite. It's just like if Brock Purdy were to get $75 million next year, everybody would be like, no, he's not worth that type of money. See, I never really agreed with next man up in football. Well, this guy got $65 million. Well, this guy needs... No. You get paid for what your skill set is and what the team feels that you're worth. Jerry overpaid for him 4 years ago. He's not going to do it again. We know this. We understand that where they are at this point, they need to start over. You've already hit that cap. It's just like the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. They've hit their ceiling. It's going to go backwards at this point. Same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. They've hit their ceiling. They've been good for X amount of years. They can't crack through and beat the good teams. So why continue to try to hit that ceiling? You need to start over. Give Dak a fresh start somewhere else. If he wants to take less money and compete somewhere else, shouts to him. But Dallas cannot continue to do this because you cannot build a great roster around an average quarterback that you're paying X amount of money to. You just can't. So it's best that they do draft the quarterback. I don't agree in the first round. You could probably get one in the third or fourth round and see what you could do. There's holes to fill in the offensive line. There's holes to fill running back and all these other places. But yes, they do have to draft the quarterback in one of those rounds.
I'll give my take on the number 24 thing after y'all are done. But come on, a guy who was second in passer rating and completion percentage, basically every stat is not average. Come on now. You don't have to say he's elite, but average. Come on. Average is like Russell Wilson.
Bryson, you know about sports. Stats lie all the time.
My eyeballs don't.
Blaine Gabbert was a guy that passed for like 4,500 yards 1 year. Blaine Gabbert is not a good quarterback. So stats lie all the time.
They do. I'd argue that's one. But nonetheless, though, yeah, I think it is. Again, Dallas is in a spot where if they don't want to pay Dak, well, then you're going to have to obviously look for the future. And let's be real. Trey Lance is not the – if Trey Lance couldn't beat out Brock Purdy and couldn't flourish in the Shanahan system, he can't flourish anywhere. That system's tailor-made for quarterbacks. So they'd have to move on. They have to go draft a guy or maybe get a guy in free agency. I'll give Barry a good take out of respect and out of to avoid him acting like, oh, this bias tag. He docked me for going after Dak.
I haven't said anything towards you all night. All right? So don't project. Don't project. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
No, I'm not projecting. John Rivera, should the Cowboys draft a quarterback at number 24?
First, I'm a Dak fan. They should pay him however they want to do. They should pay him. I've been saying it as Barry. I like Dak. You know what I'm saying? Next man up. I don't believe in that shit either. Because, some players are overpaid like a motherfucker. Excuse my French. But, yeah, I think they should definitely draft a quarterback just because they're in the situation that they're in now. They're in last year with Dak. They don't know the future like that. I think they do want to move on, but they still want Dak. It's a relationship sort of thing. Like, I don't want to give you too much, but I still want you to stay. But they definitely should draft a quarterback, you know what I mean? In the first, if they're going to draft in the first, just move up and get one of the top four guys. Like, do what San Francisco did a couple years back with Trey Lance. Like, if you're going to get a quarterback or try to get a replacement for Dak, do it this year. Like, if you feel that way, especially how they're talking, like the top three, do it this year. Move up. Give up whatever you're going to give because that's just draft capital. You ain't paying nobody. Like I said, Dak can get all the money. So I do believe, like I said, they should draft a quarterback, absolutely. But me personally, I will pay Dak, move some other little pieces, but they should definitely draft a quarterback. Maybe not in the first, but if they're going to go all in, do like San Fran did, and move up and, you know, get McCarthy, whoever they want. I don't know who is what. McCarthy is not going to be that great in my eyes. That's going to be a whole draft talk about that. I don't think he's going to be that great. People got him going like five to Minnesota, trading up with the Chargers. But, yeah, I think the Dallas should draft a quarterback, though, just to see, compete with Dak and see what they got. You know what I mean? Because I don't think they want to pay Dak. So, yeah, draft a quarterback.
No, sure. And obviously, a lot of whether or not they trade up or not is going to, you know, hinge on if they were to draft a quarterback, who they like and where that guy's going to slide. Because, see, if it's like a Jordan Love Packer situation, well, we'll just wait for him to fall into our arms in the late first round. The Ravens did that with Lamar Jackson in 2018. So, listen, there's been a lot of good quarterbacks been drafted, you know, in late rounds. But, yeah, I think for Dallas, if they are intent on moving on from Dak, then I mean, you can cross your fingers like a Joe Milton out of Tennessee is getting a lot of buzz. I'm a Vols fan. Kid's got a absolute. I think he's got a better arm than Josh Allen. It's a monster. The problem is he's not accurate and he has no pocket presence. So you can try on guys like that. But if you, I do agree with you to a certain extent. Like if you're going to go in and take your next guy, go ahead and do it in the first round. Make sure you got, you know, somebody who other teams like, other teams view, and, you know, might be a little bit jealous of you if you take them. So good take, John. I get you to 1,900 points, a little bit over Barry. I think I would take a quarterback if Dallas is intent on doing so and moving on from Dak Prescott after the season. Finally, to you, Keith, should the Dallas Cowboys draft a quarterback with their first-round pick this draft?
Well, it depends. I mean, they have the 24th pick. It depends. If you have someone on your board that you love, then you absolutely, without a doubt, you grab them. But I think you should be careful what you wish for, because, I mean, it's hard to find average quarterback play in this league right now, let alone elite or good quarterback play. So, I mean, you want to just scratch. I mean, I guess you got him for this year, but you want to scratch Dak. I mean, are you ready? Are you prepared as a Cowboy fan to win 5-6 games? You're prepared to start over and win 5-6 games? I mean,
yes.
I don't know about that. I mean, you need to really be careful, because, I mean, just ask the New York Jets. It's hard to find if you have an average quarterback, at least you have a quarterback. There's lots of teams in this league that don't have anybody. So you need to be careful with that. If you have someone at 24 that you love, you without a doubt take them. But if you can improve the roster at 24 because you don't see a quarterback that you love, then no, you don't just grab some random guy because you think maybe he's got a no way. You have to love, if you're drafting a quarterback, you have to love the quarterback, because it is so hard to find a quarterback these days. You just can't just be grabbing blind. I would rather improve the roster. You have good quarterback play. I mean, the guy's basically an MVP candidate, and you're saying scratch the season. I want to win 6 games. Come on, I don't agree with that. With that way of thinking, I mean, I got a decent quarterback. I improved the other areas of my team. I mean, the Packers, they were about to put a 60 spot on the best defense in the league. I mean, last night, Dak Prescott wasn't going to go out there and tackle anybody. He didn't play well. But, I mean, it's a team sport, and finding a quarterback is really tough. I think you should really be careful with that.
Keith, I've known you for a week. I like you already, man. you know what? You're on the Dak Prescott fan club. John didn't ask for the New York Jets to be involved. He didn't ask for the New York Jets to be involved.
We'll take Trey Lance at this point. Yeah, you talking to a Jet fan? He'll be like, "Yeah, give us Trey Lance," and we're here talking about Dak Prescott.
I mean, Bryson, I'm gonna say this, and I've said this before on multiple shows, your show, my show. I'm gonna say it to Keith because maybe he hasn't heard it, and we're gonna use a relationship analogy.
Okay,
why stay in a relationship just because the woman cooks you basic food and has a roof over your head, and you don't truly love her? If you're going to stay there just because there's security and, hey, I might not be able to find better here, so it doesn't get much better than this. No. You should never settle. You should never settle for something that you don't want. So get his ass out of here.
So you'd rather live on the streets. You'd rather live on the streets.
I would rather live on the streets. I would rather live on the streets happy. Happy with peace of mind.
You're going to be begging. You're going to be like, please, find me a quarterback.
As a Cowboys fan, and this is football. For people that are on the listen to the show, if you're a fan of your team, listen to this right now. If you're not at the top or at the very bottom, you do not want to be in the middle. The middle is purgatory in sports. And if you don't, if you know that you can't win, you might as well bottom out and start from scratch. That's where Dallas is. We are in the middle. We are in the middle.
Well, here's the thing. Well, first of all, Keith, I really loved your take. I'm going to give you a good take. Unfortunately, that's not going to be quite enough to get you to the final round. So, nonetheless, a really good performance on your part. I will say this, and it's so hilarious that we got a comment here by our guy, Boston Sports Summit, our guy Tim Barnard here at the Grid Network. He says, Michael Penix at number 24.
I like it.
So funny you say that, Tim, because I said on today's show, if and only if Michael Penix Jr. is available at 24, or if you trade up to get him, I draft Penix, and I wouldn't stop there. Dallas is not a piece away from competing for a championship. They're in the middle of the NFC, like you said, Barry, sports purgatory. So here's what I'd do. I'd draft Michael Penix.
And trade Dak.
Yeah, but Bryson. Bryson.
Let me finish. Keith. Bryson. Keith, let me finish. Listen to this. I wouldn't just trade Dak. I'd trade Micah Parsons, too.
Yeah, 100%. I'd trade Micah before Dak.
I get that, but let me ask you this. Did you think that you said, you're in purgatory because you're in the middle? Did you think that before they played the Packers?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
I think he's asking me.
Okay.
Most Cowboys fans before that game were saying we have the team that can compete for a Super Bowl.
You're basing that off of one game. It's not one game.
Was played, I think every Cowboy fan thought they had as good a shot as anybody to win the Super Bowl.
Not me.
I don't know. You thought they were going to go on a run. Listen,
I thought they would get to the NFC Championship.
Now
Super Bowl.
That was a shocking game. Did you expect them to lose that game?
I didn't expect them to lose that game, but I also didn't expect Dak to look like a deer in headlights to the fact that his
best defense in the league gave up a 50 burger.
Yeah, but what did the offense do, Keith?
50 burger.
What did the offense do?
I'll give you all a minute.
They didn't play well. Nobody.
What did the offense do? What did the offense do? What did the offense do the season before that? What did the offense do the season that before that?
The season they before always, that
they always
me
fold.
Off.
They always fold.
All right, then. So if they always fold,
where does that come from?
Listen, if they always fold with this quarterback, if they always fold with this,
does that come from the quarterback? Does that come from the team itself?
Keith, listen. If you have a star and you always get to a certain point and you can't pass that point, there comes a point in your organization where you have to make a decision. Are we going to continue to go here when we can't improve the roster because we don't have the money to do so, or do we blow it up? Every team goes through it. Every sport goes through it. Look at every team. At some point, the Florida Marlins had so much talent that they had to blow it up
because they're running it back. They had the same coach. They're running it back, and they will lose.
Oh, they'll lose. And listen, my prediction for Dallas getting the Super Bowl last year obviously was not a very good one. But my logic was, and this is where even I as a Dak guy overestimated Dak. I thought Dak was the level of guy that could carry what I believe. This is where I disagree with most Cowboys fans. I thought it was a mediocre roster. I thought it was a mediocre roster with a great quarterback, a great receiver.
And that's fair.
That it landed in first round exit. Obviously, yeah, no, than that.
Dak isn't one of those guys that can.
Right.
Can
so which means, no, that, no, which means them, that he's not. Which means that he's not worth $60 million.
Now Josh Allen on the other hand, he is.
No, he can't do it either.
He's that
guy.
We can do it after the show. We can do it after the show's over. Here's the thing. If John isn't
he's trying to last on the show. He's been eliminated. Okay.
He was the real MVP. He was the real MVP this year.
All right. Just don't even. He was. We can talk about this after the show. If John is not, well, you know what? Out of respect for John, we'll give him time to get in for the final round. You know what, Keith? You've been so passionate. You've been so good today, and you're a pro Dak guy. You're gonna get in the final round, buddy. I'm gonna give you an opportunity.
Oh, come on, I don't want your charity, Bryson.
Well, you know what? I'm not sure. I'm not totally sure if John's gonna be able to come back, and so therefore I'd have to hand the show to Barry, and that's no fun. That's just
so I guess
Yes, you're in. Point is, let's go to the final round. The final round rules are quite simple, ladies and gentlemen. You win, you get 10,000 points. If you don't get the 10,000 points, you get nothing. It's a great equalizer of this 8 o'clock spot tournament. It can really give you an opportunity to kind of get back into the game as time goes on and be able to put yourself up as high as possible in the leaderboards. Tough story in the NBA right now. Jonte Porter plays for the Toronto Raptors, the brother of Michael Porter Jr. of the Denver Nuggets. He is being investigated. The investigation is going on right now of suspected gambling. And there's reports that he actually bet on some of the unders on some of his stat totals, which is yikes. And Adam Silver came out today that said if they find him guilty, then he is out of the NBA. He'll probably be banished for life from the NBA. So really serious situation here. I'll start with you, Barry, in this segment. If found guilty, should Jonte Porter be banned from the National Basketball Association?
I just have one statement to make about that. Burger King is hiring. Burger King is hiring for Jonte Porter. They will find him guilty because obviously there's actually a paper trail with this. So there's not going to be much difficulty finding it, right? They can be able to find this thing. Once they pull all the data and you know, get all the access and all that stuff, they're going to find it. And I don't know if this guy thought that he was low profile enough to not get on the NBA's radar. I mean, how stupid do you have to be? Like, I talk about idiot brain all the time. There's a dummy born every minute, and Jonte Porter is just one of them. So he should be banned for life. If Pete Rose can never come back, and there was never something like this in regards to when Pete Rose was coaching, right? So if Pete Rose is the greatest player of all time, they can ban him for the sport. Jonte Porter, who's not even a decent player, but he ain't nobody's favorite player on no team. Nobody has a Jonte Porter jersey out there. He should be gone. Burger King is hiring. He's going to be a weekend warrior for the rest of his life. And maybe he can be able to maybe apply for a job at a sports gambling place since he cost his career there. You know, he can be able to take up sports gambling. You know, if you feel that you are so addicted to this that you're making hundreds and thousands, if not millions of dollars at this point, because he's not a big star, but he's making good money, right? That you are so, you're not even content with that you're going to go ahead and bet the over or under on your play. You're an idiot and you don't belong in the NBA just off your intelligence alone. So no, he shouldn't be in the league.
Yeah, I think that there's a, maybe that should be the rule. If nobody bought your jersey, then you should get kicked out. If they find you guilty of such a crime. Yeah, I mean, listen, I will die on the hill that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I think that's the most bogus thing. That's almost as bad, if not worse, than the steroids thing with Bonds and some of these other guys.
100%.
But yeah, it's really bad. Like, if, and I don't get the upside of it either. Like, none. You're making money in the NBA. Why do you need the extra from
a couple of thousand?
Yeah,
right? You're already making that.
Bad math. It's bad math. No, it just doesn't work. I'm definitely with you, Barry. To you, John Rivera, should the NBA ban Jonte Porter if he is found guilty of gambling on the overs, unders, all the above?
Yeah, they should ban it. Come on, man. You betting on yourself and you betting the unders. At least bet the overs, man. I'm going there and getting wet like Curry, like my brother Porter. You know what I'm saying? Like, your dumbass betting on your unders. Come on, man. He did it on himself, man. He should have just stayed. Betting 1,000, 2,000 here. But when they start seeing 30,000 on fucking Porter, what? Not Porter from Denver? No, Porter from Toronto. What? You talking about Porter, he played for Golden State and John Wall and them? No, we talking, come on, bro. Like, you should be banned just for being dumb, bro. Like, come on, man. You betting on yourself. Like you said, the great Pete Rose was, you know, he didn't play in the games himself, you know, he coaching and he got banned and still banned. He should be in the Hall of Fame. So you got this dumb Porter guy, man, like betting on himself. Come on, man. Like I said, he's dumb for, like I said, betting the unders, bro. That's my take on that, man. Like I said, he's supposed to bet the overs. I would have been in there chucking, you know what I'm saying? Like the threes, I would have been winning all that money. But, yeah, he should have just kept low profile. Like I said, bet 5,000. But once they started seeing that 30,000 on the Tuesday night, on who? I don't even know who. They snitched on him because they had to go somewhere special in a dark, dark tunnel to bet his fucking prop bets because it wasn't even on the board. He's not on FanDuel. You have to literally go somewhere and bet somebody for this guy's stats. You know what I'm saying? So his dumb ass need to get kicked out of the league, man, for that, for sure.
Yeah, I think the five. Yeah, again, $5,000 for a millionaire. Like, I don't even. Yeah, it's I'm with you too, John. I don't really know. I can't really add to that. Keith, should Jontay Porter get banned from the NBA if he's found guilty of gambling?
Yeah, because the most important thing, especially with all these, you know, the FanDuel, the Caesars, all these apps, the most important thing to the commissioners of these leagues is the integrity of the game. So once you mess with that, that's it. You're done. I just want to know, what kind of trouble is this guy in that he's betting $5,000 on himself for the under? Like, who is he robbing to buy back, to pay back such and such, so he doesn't get, who knows what kind of shady stuff he's into? Because I mean, it doesn't really make much sense. And I mean, on top of that, it's like, who can like that? It's like, how could you can't cheer for a loser. How could you bet on the under on yourself? Like, at least you're talking about Pete Rose. At least Pete Rose was betting on his teams to win. I think everybody can get behind that. Like, at least he's trying to win the game. Like, who, it's like, even when people bet on the unders, you know, on just a regular or random NBA, how do you sit in front of the TV and cheer for Bricks? Like, I hope he misses it. I hope he misses it. That's hard to do. That is hard to do. So, I mean, it's just what a, just a big time loser. That's really all you can say about him, is just big time loser. I'm going to collect my check, win some money on FanDuel, and put up some air balls. I mean, any one of us could do that. Sounds like a good gig.
Yeah. You know what? It's that explains the 15 game losing streak by Toronto. Although I'm not going to give him credit for the Raptors. I'm not going to, he's not, I didn't, to be completely honest, didn't know who the guy was until I saw this.
Exactly. Story. Neither did I.
It's just a brother of Michael Porter Jr. Oh, okay. Yeah. He's the brother in the family that, does stuff like this.
Oh my God. He's Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Exactly. Yeah. I didn't know that to this day either. I didn't know that.
So one of them is in trouble. So maybe he's in some trouble. Who knows what's going on?
Listen, maybe the distraction of this could you know, give, you know, maybe distract Michael Porter Jr. and give some create an opening for the Golden State Warriors to knock off the there Denver Nuggets, the Western Conference Finals. I'm just saying, I may thank Jontay Porter if it's all done. Thank you, man. I know you sacrificed your career, but thank you very much. Listen, all three of y'all gave fantastic takes. If this were a singular round, everybody across the board get great takes. Y'all were accurate. Y'all were funny. Y'all gave some great takes. But of course, it's the 8 o'clock spot. There's winners and there's losers. There could be only one winner, and the winner, as we dial up the victory music here of the 8 o'clock spot, episode 32, is John Rivera of the Fan Perspective Podcast getting the W tonight. John Rivera, the champion of the 8 o'clock spot. Your reaction, John.
Well, that music, man, all that deserves a woo! Nature boy. No. It's good to feel me back in this chair, man. Like I said, man, all my teams are going to be winning championships since like the 90s and late 2000s. So I'm going to take these little wins right here, you know what I'm saying, and cherish it. You know what I mean? I finished the story, Barry. I finished the story.
Listen, we had to get a WWE reference at the end. That's perfect. That's fitting. Listen, it's good that you won because you know, Lord knows Bulls ain't winning jack for years. Neither the Jets. Well, the Jets haven't been winning anything for years. And Yankees, y'all getting your hopes too high again. I'm just waiting for that moment when Houston meets you in the playoffs and takes care of business.
I'm going Baltimore. Baltimore got them this year.
Oh, okay. Well, I think Baltimore's kind of overrated, but that's another story for another day. But still, yeah, the Red Sox are terrible this year, and you're going to be in the same situation as us. We can vacation together. Cancun for another year in a row while you look at our more championships than you in the 21st century. But nonetheless, John Rivera, the rightful champion of the 8 o'clock spot this week. Listen, all three of y'all gave great performances. And listen, Keith, I gave you, just for the DAC take, special exception to get into the final round.
So I get the participation trophy.
The participation trophy, just like the Buffalo Bills get every year. Oh, that was too soon. My bad. Oh, that was, I shouldn't have done that. So I didn't know what I was talking about today.
He should be ashamed of himself that he's a Josh Allen fan and roots for the Jets. What a disgrace he is.
No. See, I was never really a Jets fan.
I became a Bills fan
because of Josh Allen.
Disgraceful.
You know what? And John gets a point over everybody in this room, because everybody in this room except for John has left their original team.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I said. Y'all talking about a champion. This is the most important thing. Staying loyal to your franchise, to your lady or whatever. I'm not switching to no Cowboys.
I will.
The baby helped you win, though. The baby did help you win.
I will stay loyal to my lady, But damn those Jets. Right now. Damn those Jets. They broke my heart too much. I had to leave. I had to leave.
The Jets will take Dak.
Yeah?
The Jets will take Dak.
You go ahead and take him. You'll be in the same spot that we at.
I don't want him to be there. I don't want to be there.
I told you for years I'll take him.
Come to Pittsburgh, Dak.
I'll tell you straight up, if Dak ever ends up in New York, you see, Dallas fans, we're very calm. You know, we will go ahead and express our frustration, you know, online and stuff like that. You go to New York and fail, they will come after you. I'm just saying,
that's a fact.
They will come after you.
Hey, man, they make the playoffs. They'll start throwing the parade today.
That's probably true. Unless I will say this, and we got to get out of here. I'd love to discuss this post show, but listen, John, I'm not gonna lie to you, my friend. The baby did help you win the show tonight, so give him credit what to do. Yeah. Give credit what to do.
Yes,
baby Kingsley, you know what I'm saying? Kingsley,
good luck.
5 weeks and a couple days old, you know what I'm saying?
That's what's up, man. Awesome. Congrats. Awesome.
Congrats. Absolutely. Congratulations to the latest edition of the Rivera family. Congratulations to John for winning the 8 o'clock spot tonight. Shout out to Barry. Shout out to Keith. Both great performances. That is it for this edition of the 8 o'clock spot. Be sure to catch us next week, hopefully next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time, live here on the Grit Network's YouTube channel and Twitter accounts. Congrats to John. Great performances by Barry and by Keith. See the belt right there. You are still the points leader, but John is gaining on you by the show. We'll see what happens in the future. We're coming close to the end of the season here, so we got to start seeing who can rack up those points toward the end and finishing strong. Hope to see everybody here next week. Stay safe out there. God bless y'all. Peace out.